This is the Bittersweet and Twisted Records podcast of Vince and Bobby. I'm Vince.
I'm Bobby.
And we are finally back.
We're back.
After a minute away.
Yep. Just a minute.
Just a minute. Not over a year.
No.
But, you know, a lot of things can happen in a year.
So true.
That push things like this aside.
Yep.
But now we're back at it.
We are.
And so we've got an episode here I've been planning for a while.
Mm-hmm. You have.
And, but before we get into it, I just want to take this moment to say that if you like the podcast, if you liked it before, you're going to like it again. Because it's not going to be any different.
That's so true.
So wherever you're listening to this at, like us, follow us. All that helps.
Yes.
And if you want to help us other ways, you can check us out at bittersweetandtwisted.com,
mm-hmm.
where we have links to our eBay store.
Yes.
Our Discogs shop.
Mm-hmm.
Our TeePublic.
Yes, which are we have new designs up right now.
That's on my personal page.
Oh, so sorry.
Yes, on the Bittersweet and Twisted TeePublic store, we just have our two logos on assorted merch. But on my page, which is teepublic.com users, Vince Corkadale, I have some Halloween cartoon designs up.
Yes.
Which are pretty cool, if I do say so myself.
Yes.
And at the eBay store, we have tons of stuff up. Tons and tons of great stuff.
Sure
records,
do.
CDs, VHS, cassettes, Blu-rays, DVDs.
Go and check them out.
Yeah.
And maybe something will be on there for you. So sorry.
And if you are in the Wilmington, Delaware area, on October 30th, we will be at the Queen selling records with a bunch of other vendors at the Dirty Fingers Vinyl Pop-Up LP show.
Dusty Fingers?
What did I say?
Dirty Fingers.
Well, it's Dusty Fingers.
Either way. Hold on. They're still dirty they're dusty.
Stop. Hold on. So if you're in the Wilmington, Delaware area on October 30th, we'll be at the Queen in Wilmington as part of the Dusty Fingers pop-up record show and flea market. We'll be selling some records there and some t-shirts. And we'll have a few other things there. So if you're in the area, come check that out. And Bobby just picked up our newest family member.
Yes, Rocky.
Our cat, Rocky Bartholomew Vanian. And it's not Rocky like Sylvester Stallone. It's
no.
R-O-K-Y after Rocky Erickson.
Yes.
And Vanian after Dave Vanian from The Damned. And this is his first podcast.
Yes.
So hopefully he'll have something to contribute.
He may.
So, with all of that out of the way,
mm-hmm.
let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
You know, if you collect records and if you've been doing it for a lot of years, sometimes you'll find things inside the album covers. Like a lot of times if you find a Kiss record, you're going to find some kids' drawings from the 70s of Kiss and their makeup. You're going to see an Ace Frehley or a Gene Simmons drawing. Or like I got that TSOL record. Someone had drew the TSOL record like four times, but the record smelled like piss, so I had to take it back. I was wondering why it was so cheap when I got it. I didn't realize it smelled like urine until I got home. I found Kiss drawings and records. I found a had a Paul McCartney record that had family vacation photos in it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had I got a Europe record that had a Harry Potter trading card in it, which is kind of weird considering how more recent Harry Potter is than a Europe album.
The difference,
And you know, if you're a collector, you've encountered stuff like this. Like if you found like an old Sabbath or Pink Floyd record, you found some weed in the
creases
of the gatefold. But what we want to talk about tonight, or today, whenever you listen to this, it's night for us as we record. It's what I found inside a Thin Lizzy album that I got out of a dollar bin about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a copy of Bad Reputation. And just saying right now, if you finding a playable Thin Lizzy record in a dollar bin is impossible nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it was like 10 years ago. I also found a copy of Jailbreak. But what I found inside this record is quite interesting. And we're going to get into the second. But first, Bobby has some background information on Thin Lizzy's 1977 album, Bad Reputation.
Oh, yes. I don't know. Not much, but just some little pieces. First of all, if we know it was from 1977, and I always say that's the best year because that's the year that I was born, but, you know, I just could be a little biased.
You know, this is, I don't know if I brought this on the podcast before, but I usually tend to think of people by Alice Cooper albums.
Yeah.
Like, I think about them, whatever year they were born, I think about whatever Alice album came out that year.
Am I the Lace and Whiskey?
You're Lace and Whiskey. You should take that as a compliment, because I used to buy so many copies of Lace and Whiskey when we come across them.
There was so much good music in 77 anyway.
People dismiss that album. There is a lot of good
stuff.
That
was a great year for music.
Like me, personally, I'm a Welcome to My Nightmare.
Yes, we know.
Because it came out in 75.
Which is the year he was born, that's why. Mm-hmm. All right, so with Bad Reputation, this was originally released in 77, and it was Thin Lizzy's 8th studio album, which kind of seems crazy to me that it was the 8th album.
Yeah, they were cramming them out
were.
Well, in 76, they put out two. They put out Jailbreak and...
Right.
Oh, goodness, I want to say Johnny the Fox.
Yes, it was. This album, so when you look at it, on the front of it, you have...
Downey, Gorham, and Linnett.
Thank you. But on the back, you have the other...
Brian Robertson.
So anyway, so Brian Robertson, he was only credited for 3 of the songs that were on that album. But there is one song where Robertson and Scott's, they shared the lead guitars on, and that was The Woman's Going to Break Your Heart. Here in the U.S., that album was number 39 in the U.S. Didn't do very, very well, unfortunately, which they were really hoping for, you know, that they were going to make it in the U.S., but unfortunately, they did not do as well as they did over in the UK, which this album over in UK, it reached number 4 on the UK charts, which is pretty big, pretty awesome, and it's a big difference. And the one single that was out was Dancing in the Moonlight, and that reached number 14 in the UK charts for 8 weeks. But one thing I thought was really kind of a funny tidbit that, so when they were, the reason why there's the photo on the front is different than the photo on the back. When Phil Lynott, he was supposed to get in touch with Jim Fitzpatrick, who was their normal designer for their albums and things. Phil was supposed to fly to Madison, Connecticut. But instead, he flew to Madison, Wisconsin. Big difference. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he missed his time. I'd like to think, I'm sure it was, he blamed it on the drugs at the time, where he was like, yeah, Madison, that sounds right. Because why would we have more than one Madison here in the United States? But yeah, so that's why they had to... you know, that was a misunderstanding that they both stated that happened. And so that's why they went with the photo that they had already had done. So they just went with that one, even though that's not the one that they wanted to use.
And I just want to throw in there that it was produced by Tony Visconti, who was famous for working with David Bowie and T-Rex.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
So let's get into what we found inside the record.
Dun, 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 dun.
It is a letter. It's a letter. It's in the still has the envelope it was in. Back then, stamps were 13 cents.
And, I don't even know what they are now.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
I think only really old people use stamps. I'd say really old to differentiate between us. Regular old. So this letter is written by a girl.
It is.
To her boyfriend who was in the Navy RTC.
In the Navy.
And Bobby's going to read the letter first.
Yes.
And she's going to leave all the names out.
That I am.
She'll just say the first letter of the names. And then once the letter is finished, we're going to pop back.
Yeah. So this letter that we found inside the album was written October 25th. 1977.
So you foresaw, which means, you know, I think Bad Reputation came out in September
of 77.
So this was a new album when she wrote this letter.
Right. Yes. All right. Hi, love. How are you? Are you mad at me? I haven't received any of your letters lately. I've been a good girl, and I can't wait until you come home. Are you coming home for Thanksgiving? She's got a lot of questions in there. K and M got front seats for the Queen concert. M and I are becoming pretty good friends. Well, Jay's back from her vacation. I got snow tires for my little Vega. My FM stereo is doing fine. So how's it going over there? I might learn how to play the guitar. I miss you so much and can't wait until you come home. This is really just funny. So young writing, you know. Just come down. All right. This is the best line. I still have the rubbers. I've got them in my hope chest. Just hoping and waiting for you to come home.
And for you young people out there, rubbers are condoms.
Oh, and hope chest. Most people don't have hope chest anymore. That was like you got a hope chest in the hopes for one day when you become married and you would start to fill that with the items. So silly.
So she has rubbers in hers.
She's got rubbers in her hope chest. Yeah, I love that. So there's so many signs around here that say we're going to have a harsh winter. Well, only 3 weeks and 2 days left. Please hang in there, honey. I hope you're taking care of yourself. Please write back. And it has the WB that we all used to put in our letters. Love you so much. Love, C. XOXOX. Love ya. And P.S. Happy Halloween. With a cute little pumpkin and a ghost on there. Oh, I can't forget the little heart.
With an arrow
and
it.
Some lips. Yes. So very, very cute, innocent letter. I wonder how old she was around this time. She had to be like, I don't know, 17, 18 maybe.
I mean, the fact that he was in the, guy she was writing to was in the...
military.
Navy, you know, the training thing.
Yeah.
So here's where the story takes a turn.
Yeah.
All over this envelope, you may be wondering, if she wrote this letter to her boyfriend...
Yeah.
Why do we have the envelope that she sent it in?
That's true.
Well, the answer is it got returned to her.
Multiple.
It was forwarded.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
Yes.
From the division he was in to a different division, to a different building, to all these different addresses. And there's stamps all over the back from each place it went to.
It's so sad.
With dates. So...
like, did this letter, because he never received it, was this the end of their relationship? There's so many questions I have.
Was he just like, no?
Yeah. Was he like, nope?
Mm-mm. Nope. Yeah. Or did something happen to him?
Yeah.
So is it she has a broken heart because he rejected her and ignored her? Or did something happen to him?
Yeah.
Did
many questions.
Did they ever connect again after this?
So the one thing, though, I do want to say, like, where did it originate it from?
Yeah.
In Illinois.
Well, she was up in Zieglerville, PA.
Yeah, okay.
This was mailed on October 26th, 1977. Yeah. And her guy was in Great Lakes, Illinois.
Yes.
And it went all over the place, all these different stamps on top of stamps all over
it.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to read some of them. And there's some dates where it went around.
So was this like, did she hang on to this because her heart was so broken?
Yeah.
And she's just like had it in her, you know, like that's so, I have so many questions.
And did she keep it inside the Thin Lizzy record? Was that like their record?
Right. Yeah. Was that like a good memory for her? Like they both like Thin Lizzy. I have so many questions.
And I tried Googling both of them and I couldn't find anything because I can't figure out her last name on the return address. I can't figure out the last couple letters.
Mm-hmm.
I looked him up, and there's a lot of guys with his name, surprisingly, because it's an unusual last name.
Yeah.
So, it's really interesting. It's interesting. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
So many questions.
So if anybody who knows, maybe you know that person with these.
If you know a girl in 77 that kept her rubbers in her hip chest.
Yeah. Or, you know, somebody that would have been in the Pennsylvania area and had a boyfriend in the Navy ROTC. Yeah. Maybe you may know them, or you could tell someone to tell somebody else that we have their letter and we have so many questions.
We have so many questions. But...
The reason why we read that letter, point of it.
Well, the point of it was because it was in the record. It was fascinating.
Yes.
But, and then we started looking more into the time period, because she mentioned how the two friends had Queen tickets.
Right.
So going by, this letter was written on October 25th, in the area they're in, they must have been Queen tickets for their show at the Spectrum in November. And they did... two shows of that year, November 23rd and 24th, part of the News of the World Tour.
Okay.
And the set list was pretty long.
Yeah, that is.
To completely bore you and to save you from having to go to setlist.fm.
Yeah.
The set was We Will Rock You, Brighton Rock, Somebody to Love, It's Late, Death on Two Legs, Killer Queen, Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy, I'm in Love with My Car, Get Down, Make Love, The Millionaire Waltz, You're My Best Friend, Spread Your Wings, Liar, Love of My Life, 39, My Melancholy Blues, White Man, The Prophet's Song, Guitar Solo, Prophet's Song, Reprise. Do you say reprise or reprise?
I say reprise.
Okay. Keep Yourself Alive, Stone Cold Crazy, Bohemian Rhapsody, Now I'm Here, Tie Your Mother Down, and their encore was We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions, Sheer Heart Attack, Jailhouse Rock, and God Save the Queen.
God Save the Queen was their last song.
It was traditional.
Oh.
But it's interesting that in 77, they were pretty much already doing a greatest hits set.
Yeah, really. God, but how awesome would that have been? I mean, I know, you know, I was born at a really awesome time, but I really wish I could have been old enough to enjoy the music during that time. And, like, I could have been like, yeah, I was there. I saw Queen. That was so cool.
And... being the way we are, we did some more research for the News of the World tour.
Yeah.
So the News of the World album by Queen was released on October 28th, 1977 in the UK by EMI Records and Elektra Records in the US, which is interesting. It came out 3 days after she wrote her letter. The album charted at number 4 in the UK and number 3 in the US. And the singles were We Are the Champions, which went to number 2 in the UK, number 4 US. Spread Your Wings, which was number 34 in the UK. And the final single from that album was It's Late, which is only released in Canada, US, and a few other territories. Didn't get a UK release, interesting. In the US, it charted at 74 and didn't chart in any other country.
Okay.
And the this tour, as you saw by the set list I read out, it was the longest shows they've ever done in their career. Generally lasting 2 hours and sometimes as long as 2.5 hours.
Wow.
The final bit of information about the News of the World tour by Queen was the tour started on November 11th, 1977 in Portland, Maine, and ended in May 1978 with 3 shows at Wembley Arena in London on the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
That's a lot.
So that's probably more than you need to know about Queen's News of the World tour. And if the girl hadn't mentioned it in the letter about her friends having tickets... we wouldn't have looked it up.
That's true.
But we read it and we did look it up.
Yeah.
And so this letter was inside Thin Lizzy's Bad Reputation album. I looked up the Bad Reputation tour. And they played the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, PA, which if you don't know the area, it's right outside of Philly. A lot of people will say it's Philly, but it's not Philly. It's outside.
Yeah.
And
we might get some emails or something about that.
But it's not Philly. I know. It's Upper Darby. Or people call it Upper Dump. I've seen a few shows at the Tower Theater. It was a nice theater, but it didn't make it through COVID.
Oh,
it never reopened. I saw Simple Minds there, and I saw Alice Cooper. But back in 77, in October, they did 2 nights there. So Thin Lizzy played October 20th and the 21st, 4 days before she wrote her letter. So I wonder if she went to the Thin Lizzy show. She didn't mention it, so she probably did. She probably didn't. Maybe she didn't want to go without him.
Maybe.
So, on the 20th, if you're a set list nerd, the set list was Soldier of Fortune, Jailbreak, Johnny, Warriors, Dancing in the Moonlight, Massacre, Still in Love with You, Cowboy Song, The Boys Are Back in Town, Opie and Trail, Don't Believe a Word, Emerald, Bad Reputation, Baby Drives Me Crazy, Me and the Boys, and Are You Ready? Now, the next night, they played the same set, mm-hmm. except they didn't play Me and the Boys and Are You Ready? They played The Rocker instead.
Okay.
And these shows were recorded by the King Biscuit Flower Hour. Do you remember that?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a little older, a couple years older than you, so I remember it.
You're only 2 years older.
I know,
than
but, I somehow I know this.
Yeah.
But it was an American syndicated live concert radio show that ran original programming from 73 to 93.
Hmm.
And then they continued to rebroadcast old shows in 2005.
Oh.
So the recordings from these two Upper Darby shows were released on the live albums Live and Dangerous in 1978. Mm-hmm. Killers Live EP in 81 and Still Dangerous in 2009.
Yep.
And the lineup was Philip Lynott, Brian Downey, Scott Gorham, and Brian Robertson.
Okay.
And interesting, the opening act was Graham Parker and the Rumors. And at the San Jose Civic Auditorium show on October 1st, the White Twilly was scheduled to also be on the bill but canceled.
Oh, interesting.
And was replaced by Little Roger and the Goosebumps.
Okay.
I've never heard of Little Roger.
No.
Like, I like Dwight Twilley. I mean, he passed away a year or two ago, but he had some really great albums.
Yeah.
So that would have been a cool show.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah.
And just one little thing to tie a lot of this together.
Yeah.
Is that from, in 1977,
mm-hmm.
earlier that year, from January to March, Thin Lizzy toured the U.S. as special guest to Queen.
Yeah.
And the lineup for Lizzy then was Phil, Brian, Scott Gorham, and Gary Moore. Because that was when Robbo had messed up his hand in the bar fight. So he couldn't do the tour and couldn't do most of the recorded album. They came in towards the end of that album, worked on a few songs.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yeah, so interesting too. And then the one that we were talking about, like, surprisingly, how they did not do so well here in the U.S. and how they were supposed to open up for Rainbow also, but then they had to abandon that idea after Lynott contracted Hep C from a dirty needle, unfortunately, where he was pretty much laid up at the hospital. So he couldn't do that. But that would have been really cool, too.
Yeah. So I hope we didn't steamroll through that too fast.
Yeah, I hope not.
But
it's just interesting and fun little thing. We thought, you know, just to get our toes wet and get it back into doing some podcasts, because we really have
been distracted,
very distracted with life. But I hope that you enjoy it and find it as interesting as we
did. This one episode kind of ties back into our early episodes when we do Treasures from the Bargain Bin.
That is so true.
Because this was from a bargain bin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dollar record. It's unbelievable.
But one thing that we want to do when we do, the reason why we do it, is just to kind of bring some history and to the music and continue to bring maybe new music to people who've never listened. If you've never listened to Thin Lizzy, you need to. It's amazing.
Or Rainbow.
Or Rainbow. Yeah. Who else did we mention?
Queen.
But I feel like somebody.
If you haven't heard Queen, come on now.
But
you're probably one of those guys that only listens to jazz.
Boring.
Sorry, jazz guys.
Yeah.
But
some of it's all right.
Yeah, some of it.
To each his own.
Hey, like we said during the first couple years of the podcast,
everyone's fun is different. So true. But hopefully you checking out music is your kind of fun, and we want to bring that to you.
This is the part of the podcast where we have to wrap it up because we start to ramble.
We ramble.
So if you've listened to all of our previous episodes...
Thank you. We love you.
This is not strange to you. We ramble until I say, thanks for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe.
Yep.
Share it with your friends. And we'll see you before it's another year.
Yes. And be safe.